Well, it is our Sunday night service, so we are going to turn in the book of Acts. That's where we're going to be tonight. We're right after service. We have a business meeting that we got to do. It's something that we need to do. We have to do. We're going to look at a few things there, and the looks of it, it'll be pretty. The looks of it, it'll be the same people I had before. So, yeah. So we'll do that right after service tonight. So. We'll be in Acts chapter 9, so if you're there, we're going to be here. We're going to look at the Damascus Road tonight. We're just going to look at some things here. And we're going to look at some things here before we do that little business meeting thing. But just want to remind you who, you know, we know who Paul is, and his name prior to that was Saul. And so tonight we're going to be looking at this guy pretty much named Saul. Saul is this guy. He's doing some things. Jesus has already died, resurrected. The day of Pentecost came, boom, people are out, churches are growing, people are sharing the gospel, and he is out doing some things, and he is persecuting those who are following Christ, and he just feels that this is that Jesus was not the Messiah to come, and so he is out defending his own personal, what he feels is right. So tonight I'm being the Holman version, so... verse 1 says, meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and requested letters from him to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found anyone who belonged to the way, either men or women, he might bring them as prisoners to Jerusalem. We also see here that Saul's also mentioned over here in chapter 7 and verse 57, when they have Stephen there at the end. And they stone him. It says, then they screamed at the top of their voices, and they stopped their ears and rushed together against him. And they threw him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And this is the Saul that is now on Damascus Road. So when Stephen was being put to death there and being stoned, he was a young man. They were throwing robes at him. They loved him. And now... he's on the Damascus Road. He's getting letters so he can have the authority to go out and arrest people who are Christians. Okay? I want to share with you right now that there are people we know right now there's ISIS, there's all those doing that. But I want to tell you, as much as we despise what they do, I want to tell you, the gospel can penetrate even them. The gospel can penetrate our enemies. And there are people today who... were once Muslim who are now Christians. Okay? And so that is a good thing. But here we find the Damascus Road. So, Saul is on the Damascus Road and he is traveling. He has getting his letters and he is ready to go. He wants to attack. He wants to get these Christians out of the way. And so as he traveled, in verse 3, and was nearing Damascus, a light from heaven suddenly flashed around him. Now, I want to tell you that sometimes we get on our own agendas, and this is what this looks like. This is a man who's on his own agenda. He feels like he's doing something for God, but he's not. Everything looked right, but it's not. Everything that he's doing, he thinks is right, but it's not. And some of us sometimes feel like what we do, that we're doing is right, but it's not. So something happens to him on the Damascus Road. A light from heaven suddenly flashed around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. He replied, but get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. So the men who were traveling with Saul stood up speechless, hearing the sound but seeing no one. And Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could not see nothing. So they took him by the hand and led him into Damascus. He was unable to see for 3 days, and he did not eat or drink. So Paul has this change here. Paul has this peace here. He is a man that did pretty much everything that he felt like was right. He had very, very strong zeal toward God. But he missed the coming of Jesus, okay? He missed the coming of Jesus, as many of us have done in the past. Until we come to know who Christ is. We miss the coming. We may have went to the Christmas specials. We may have went to Easter services. We may have heard the gospel, but we missed it. Saul had missed it until up to this point. And so at this point, Jesus got his attention. I believe every one of us need to have a Damascus Road experience. It doesn't need to be flashing lights. It doesn't need to be voices here. But every one of us need to have a Damascus Road experience, which means there's a moment in time when God just stops you. You stop. You're no more important. Something bigger than you is right in front of you. We find out that that is Jesus. We find out that that's who that is. We determine, wow, that's Jesus. And then we begin to make a choice. And he makes the, and so Jesus is talking to him. He has an extraordinary experience here, not saying that your salvation is not as important. But some people have stronger experiences, but the same result should happen. Salvation, amen? We should have salvation through coming to Christ. But we want to see some things that's going to come out of this. So we see here, as he goes on, he goes into town, and he gets some help there, but there's something that comes up to him that's different. Something begins to happen to him. Okay, something begins to happen to him. This is the big thing. Now, tonight I could be preaching the four soils. You know what I'm talking about, the four soils, where the gospel is being given and being planted, and there's four soils. Well, this is the one that laying on good soil, okay? Because we're going to see one of the big, we're going to see one of the major reasons why with this. So Saul has this big experience. He can't see. He's been knocked off his horse pretty much. He can't see. He's walking. Guys are helping him. Somebody that was able, young and tough, and everybody threw robes down at him. Big name, coming to town. He's coming to town physically. He's coming to town, and he doesn't know what happened. He just knows that God talked to him. God pretty much slammed him for a moment. Why are you persecuting me? He can't see. Somebody's walking him. He's always walked everywhere he went. Eventually, he gets his eyesight back. And then he gets mixed up with the disciples. This is where I want to get you here. I want you to come over to verse 20. Something that really unique happens. And this is where I want to hang out a little bit here in the next few minutes that we have. What does it look like when we really come to Christ? What does it look like when we come to Jesus Christ? What does it look like when we become a Christian? Now, this is what it's going to look like for, this is what it's going to look like for Saul. Okay? Saul was with the disciples. Boom, right there it is. Saul was hanging out with Christians. Saul was hanging out with believers. The people that he persecuted, he comes to Christ, he starts hanging out with him. The first thing he did was starting to change who he was hanging out with. That's what we got to learn. Okay? Class I teach on Fridays, 12-step life skills. You got to change your faces and places or you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Because you have to change your place and you have to change your setting and your people until you become strong. Paul, or Saul, I'm going to call him Paul all night tonight. I know I will. So Saul, so he's changing some of his crowd now all of a sudden. He's not with the ones he was persecuting. Now he's hanging out with the ones he was persecuting. So it says here, he says, Saul was with the disciples in Damascus for some days. He just didn't hang out with them for a moment. He began to become discipled, began to work through them, listen to them. And don't think Saul was not dumb. Saul was very smart. Some of the smartest guys around when it came to the Word of God. He just missed the coming of Jesus. He missed who the Messiah was. And he was trying to defend God. He was trying to defend all the things that he believed. Let me tell you right now, God don't need you to defend him. We need to stand up, be strong in the Lord. But God can defend himself. Because when we begin to get, when we begin to try to defend God, we get prideful. We start to think that we know so much. I think some of the things that Saul was beginning to hear was things completely, some new experience and new teachings that he was learning. And it wasn't just, there was so much in God's Word so much, there was a lot of it in there. I'm sure he was learning how the Messiah came through all the prophecies and how he was the one, how Jesus was the one. But I think he was learning how people were loving people. I think he was learning how people were being able to survive under persecution. And he was one of the persecutors. I think he was beginning to see what it was like for those people that was being persecuted. And he was hearing their stories. But it says Saul was with and he was hanging out with the disciples in Damascus for some days. And then, boom, something happens with him. I'm going to tell you, when you're a Christian, you cannot not talk about Jesus. Did you hear what I just said? When you're a Christian and you're walking with Jesus and you love who Jesus is and he's made a big experience in you, you can't help but not talk about him. You cannot help. You want to talk about him. In verse 20, he says, immediately. The Bible says, immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue. He is the Son of God. He changes his tune. Why? It's not lip service. What it is that he had a change in his heart. You can't just change your actions. You got to change your heart. You can't just change your heart. You got to change your actions. It all comes together. You see, Saul got saved. That's what it was. He had a moment with Christ. He had a moment and he chose to go in the direction with Christ. And in that moment, he began to hang out with new people. And where's that at? He was hanging out with Christians. Where? In the synagogue. In the church. Okay? Like tonight, what you're doing. And you're hanging out in the synagogue with other believers. And as you hang out with other believers, We should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should not be ashamed of the name of Jesus. But we should be excited about what Christ has done in our life. We should be excited about what he's done. Unfortunately, some of the saddest people I know are not lost people, but are Christians. Christians who have forgotten what their salvation experience was. I remember my salvation experience. Sometimes you might remember the year, the day, the month. You may forget those days, but you better not forget where it was and how it happened. Paul was always able to share his story. But it says he immediately began to proclaim Jesus is the Son of God. He couldn't stop doing it. He just couldn't stop. He loved the Lord. He began to love the Lord as he went on. He began to do those things. I want you to turn over for a moment in Acts. I want you to turn over later in Acts. In Acts 26. Now we jump up some serious time. His name now is Paul. Paul is pretty much kind of, he's arrested. And what I love about Paul, it didn't matter what his circumstances was, he's still going to preach. He's still going to tell people about Jesus. We don't want to tell Jesus about, when we're all excited and doing things good, you know, things are happening, we don't talk to the Lord. When bad things are happening, we want to talk to the Lord. We choose and pick when we want to talk about who Jesus is. We don't have that right. We need to be telling people about Jesus. Paul has a crowd. He's arrested. Let's pick it up here in verse 24. He says, as he was making his defense this way, Festus exclaimed in a loud voice, "You're out of your mind, Paul." So you got this sheriff type guy who says, "You're out of your mind, Paul." I don't know. Have you ever had that happen to you? You're out of your mind. Or someone want to try to embarrass you because of your beliefs? Listen, if you talk enough about Jesus, you're going to find yourself in that spot. Okay? If you talk enough about Jesus, you're going to lose a friend or two. And really, they weren't really a friend. They were just an acquaintance. But he says, "You're out of your mind." And Paul replied with this, "I'm not out of my mind, most excellent Festus." Even when Paul's doing this, he's giving the cordial. He's being respectful. That gets me to a point that we should not be arguing with people when we're sharing the gospel. Amen? You're not getting anywhere when you start arguing. You're building up walls, okay? But then he comes down here, he says, On the contrary, I'm speaking words of truth and good judgment. For the king knows about these matters. So here we got... We have him, Paul, witnessing to the king. Now, you don't get to the king unless God makes a way, okay? And this was actually a moment that I believe God had set up. "It is to him I am actually speaking boldly, for I am not convinced that any of these things escapes his notice, and since this was not done in a corner, Then he turns, he says, King Agrippa, here it comes. This is what you do when you begin to share the gospel. You call him by name, okay? Because then it becomes personal. He's in a crowd, high officials. Everybody's looking at him. Everybody's listening. Whispers over here, whispers over there. Probably heard a few name calling. He feels that moment in his chest. The Holy Spirit begins to say, okay, shut the conversation down, all the other stuff, and I want you to beeline to the moment and ask him. He says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? He knew that King Agrippa knew what he was talking about because he's been listening to it. We didn't get a chance to get into all the conversation, but he knew what he was talking about. Jesus the Messiah? Is Jesus the Savior? And this is what we do sometimes when we share. We say, we know. He says, I know you believe. I know you believe. When you are sharing the gospel with someone and you're in that spiritual zone, it's hard to explain, but you're in it. You can't make it happen. It just happens. You're sharing about Jesus. And you feel that moment, some of you know, you feel that moment when the Holy Spirit says, quit talking about the weather, quit talking about everything, strike. Ask them about, is Jesus, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Now we're heading in, that whole thing is building up to that salvation question. Do you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? This is what he asked. This is what it is. And when you're in that moment, you can't make that moment happen. When you try to make that moment happen, it's not going to work. But this is something that God has set up. And we see this. Verse 28. Then King Agrippa said to Paul. This is why it's hard for people who have a lot of money and people in high positions. Let me tell you, and I told you this morning, I don't like a lot about politics, but I'm going to tell you this. Any man in politics that cannot bow his knee and says he's a Christian, cannot claim he's a Christian in front of people, is ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He believes his position is higher than Jesus Christ, than his belief. Listen, no. And here we see this piece right here. He says, then Agrippa said to Paul, are you going to persuade me? He said, are you going to persuade me? One thing we don't try to do, one thing you don't want to try to do is talk somebody into coming to Christ, because it don't work. And if you do, you're messing it all up. You're making it worse than what it is, already is, okay? But the other side will say things like that, okay? Prior to this, Paul shared his testimony about the Damascus Road. So they know what his salvation experience was. So he says, are you going to try to persuade me to become a Christian so easily? He says, are you going to try to persuade me to become a Christian? Isn't it so kind of odd that when you're sharing the gospel, so many people want to identify it automatically with Christianity? You want to call me a name? I'm picking up a name. That's true. But the piece of it is, Jesus should be the first part of it, right? Okay, not titles. He says, I wish, now, here we go. He says, I wish before God, Paul replied, that whether easily or with difficulty, not only you, but all who are listening to me today might become as I am, except for these chains. And he was saying, I want you to become what I am, all of you. He gets bolder. And I want to tell you, when you take a step in the Spirit and you get bold and you ask that question, question comes back. Sometimes there's that moment of like, But when you're in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit gives you words. And he got bolder. He says, not only you, but all of you, whether it was easily or difficulty, that you all come to Christ, you would have everything that I have, is what he's talking about, instead of the chains that I'm in, except for those chains. Okay? So now the witnessing not only is for the one person, but it's for the whole house, for all those officials. So the king, the governor, Bernice, and those sitting with them got up, and when they had left, they talked with each other and said, this man is doing nothing that deserves death or chains. This is what happens. When you begin to share the gospel with one person or many, when they leave the room, They are not talking about anything else but what just happened in that room. They're always going to talk about what just happened because it's a spiritual thing. It's messing them all up. They're trying to process it. It's a spiritual thing, and they're trying to process it. These guys are beginning to talk about things that make no sense, and they missed it, okay? And sometimes that happens. So, they said, this man is doing nothing that deserves death or chains. They're talking about his physical circumstances. Sometimes when you're talking to people about Jesus, they hear you, listen to me, but they don't hear you. They see you, but they don't really see you. Okay? Then Agrippa, the king, said to Festus, this man could have been released if he had not appealed to Caesar. As we know by Scripture, no one in that room came to Jesus. Does that make Saul / Paul? Does that make Paul a failure? No. He succeeded in what he was called to do at that place. He was told, in his spirit, he knows. He shared the gospel. They refused it. You can't make anyone come to Jesus. You just can't. You can't force that. You cannot force that. So what we find here is soon he begins up on the ship and he's going to sail to Rome. I love what God does sometimes. He allows us to have pit stops for his purposes. And this was one of them, I believe. And none of this could have happened if Paul did not first have that Damascus Road experience. Second of all, it would not have happened if he didn't find himself with the disciples, okay? With the disciples. Hanging out in the church. And it says immediately he began to share that Jesus is the Son of God. And we see Paul over and over and over sharing the gospel. Sometimes they don't receive Christ. But when he was in chains, there was another time when he did share the gospel. And the jailer was saved and his family was saved. We see other times when he shared the gospel with Lydia. And people come to Christ. Some people didn't come to Christ. Some people were trying to kill him. Some people were trying to, you know, always get him arrested. We can't determine who's going to get saved and who's not going to get saved. Father knows that. They make a choice. They make a choice on who they receive, who they want to be Lord of their life, either the Lord or themselves. But I want to tell you, the unique piece about Saul was that he changed his face. He changed his places in a different way. And he began to share the gospel. We know through the scriptures that Saul received Christ. But what I love about it tells us that he had a change of life. There are so many people that come and say they want Christ and they don't change. That's the evidence of our Christianity. That's the evidence of our Christianity. I'm reminded of the woman at the well. What did it say? You remember the story after Jesus explained that, oh no, you have many husbands, right? You have five husbands. And began to share. What did she do? She went off and she began to tell everybody about who Jesus was. Remember when he landed and he put his foot on that shore and he come up there and then the demon-possessed man come and he came and Jesus cast out the demon legion and all that was there. And the man began to put, they put clothes on the man. And what did he say? He said, let me go with you, Jesus. Let me go with you. He didn't want to stay in that dump. He didn't want, everybody knew what he was. He knew if he can get on that boat and go with Jesus, he's now got clothes. He was running around naked. He's not demon possessed anymore. He's not controlled by evil spirits. He's dressed and he wants to go with this man, Jesus, who just changed his life. That's who he wanted to go with. He can go and start a whole fresh life. But Jesus says, no. Won't you stay here and show and tell everybody what I did for you? And the Bible says that's exactly what he did. He went out in Damascus and all those areas Decapolis. He went over those areas and he began to share who Jesus was. And that's what we need in the church house today. We need Christians who are going to stand up and remember their Damascus Road experience and go out there and begin to share with people about what Jesus has done in their life, about what Jesus can do in their life. Not ashamed of the gospel, but sharing it. There are people out there in high authority positions that need to hear the gospel. There are people in low positions that need to hear the gospel. Everybody in between needs to hear the gospel. Everyone needs to hear the gospel. Everyone does. Aren't you glad that somebody shared the gospel with you? Every person here that is a Christian, somebody shared the gospel with you. Somebody was bold enough to share the gospel with you. Can you remember who led you to the Lord? I can remember mine. Do you remember who it was? I hope that you do, because that brings you to the point where you need to remember that there were prior people before you, but now it's your turn where you need to share the gospel. Paul is not here no more. Paul had that moment. He lived his life for Jesus as a torching flame. But that flame goes out and our life is over, and then the next generation gets to pick it up. And then the next generation gets to pick it up. And I wonder how we're doing, if we're so consumed now about doing other things in churches and how we build and how we do things, that we're not concerned about the basic necessity that people are lost and people need the Savior. And the only Savior we have and the only plan that we have, and it's the greatest plan, but it's the only plan that we have, it's the right plan, and that plan is getting right with God. And we get right with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, many of you have heard me preach this kind of message, several times. So you've been instructed on how to share the gospel. We've used the ABCs. We've used all kinds of different skill setting. We use five fingers. We use all kinds of things. But it comes down that you can be fed and fed and fed until you get up and use what you got, exercise it, and give that opportunity to others, and get out there and meet people. And if they all turn around and say, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to hear what you have to say, then you turn around and you walk away. You've done what God has called you to do. But there'll be those moments when someone will say, could you explain something to me? Could you tell me a little bit more about who Jesus is? Could you tell me a little bit more about the sins that I have? Are my sins on a scale of good and bad? And you begin to share. And you know enough. You know enough in God's word. You know enough to get you through that. You know that you can stand there like Nehemiah did when he's standing in front of the king. And he says he was fearful, and he was standing before the king, and he began to pray, and he was talking to the king at the same time. That's what you do when you're witnessing. You're praying in your spirit at the same time you're talking. That's about the only time that ever can happen. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit will work when we will do what God's called us to do. People still need saved. People still need the Lord. And you are, as I said last week, you are the light of the world. And if you let your light grow dim, it's hard for the darkness to find the light. We need to be beaming light, searching for people that are lost. You can say, well, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. No, but you are a child of God, and you are saved, and you are called to share the gospel. You are called to know the necessities and the basics on how to share the gospel with people. Listen to me now, because some of y'all have fallen asleep on me here real quick. Look at me. I don't care how many people you feed. I don't care how many people you clothe. I don't care how many people you give money to. I don't care how many rides you give. I don't care how much money you give away. I don't care if you let people live in your house. If you have not shared the gospel with them, you have left the most important need out of their life. Everyone needs to hear the gospel truth. Everyone needs to hear the gospel. Everyone. And how ashamed it would be if God was to say to you, you had the opportunity, but you never shared. You gave them everything else, but you never gave them and offered them me. And you missed the whole thing. The whole thing. The whole thing. The whole thing. But good news is you're here tonight. You're being like Saul. You're in the synagogue tonight. You're with other as disciples. You're with other growing up in Jesus' disciples, learning about Jesus, singing praises. But it said, it went on to finish this. Immediately he began to proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the next step that many of you need to take. Get out there and start proclaiming it with your friends, your coworkers, and the people in your neighborhood, the people that you know, the people at school. Sometimes it's okay to get into trouble. God is there with you when you are persecuted. God is with you when you go through those things. So I know we all have people that are lost. I know we all have people that we know that don't know the Lord. And I'm telling you, you may be the one that God is using and wants to use in sharing the gospel. So I'm hoping tonight that you look at it, because here's what I think. Some of us have been Christians a long time, and we haven't even shared the gospel with someone, because we hang around with too many Christians at times. We don't get out in the midst and amongst those that are lost with a purpose to share the gospel. So I want you to think about that. I want you to process that. So I wasn't planning on preaching long tonight, so let's just go ahead and stand. I'm going to give you the opportunity. If you want to come and pray tonight, because we do have this little business thing we got to take care of, maybe there's someone that you know that you need to have, Lord, just give me the strength to share the gospel. Maybe you haven't shared the gospel with someone in a long time. Maybe you need to revisit your Damascus Road experience and say, Lord, remind me of the joy of the salvation that I have in you. Give me the strength to be the man, the woman that you call me to be. I had people like King Agrippa in my life that have refused over and over and over. But God's grace allows them to continue to live. And they might hear the gospel maybe one more time.